big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the...
Good afternoon and welcome to Richmond Indie Media News, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we get our news, our clues, and our views from our postings on our website at richmond.indymedia.org. We are dedicating this half hour today to Coretta Scott King, who's being laid to rest today, one of the most powerful women in the 20th century in the United States, and one of the women upon whose shoulders all of us stand today. So thank you, Coretta, for a life well lived. We are here today, live in Studio B, bringing you the important information from the website at richmond.indymedia.org. That's indie media for independent media. We are independent of corporate sponsorship, independent of corporate control, and independent of a profit motive. And what a difference that makes in bringing you the news. Do we have an agenda? You betcha. We are here to inspire you, to encourage you, and to empower you to become part of the conversation. You know, democracy is a kind of governance which requires the participation of all its citizens. So we encourage you to become a three-minute activist. Take 3 minutes a day to send an email, to make a phone call, to talk to a neighbor, to write to a letter to your legislators, to voice your opinion. This is so important. We heard last week from some of our guests that the legislators in our General Assembly believe that phone calls from just 12 people constitutes a groundswell. So don't ever think for 1 minute that your voice is not incredibly effective. Since January 11th, when the General Assembly session began, until March 11th, when the session will end, we here at Richmond Indie Media News are focusing on legislative issues. So grab a friend, grab a pen, and let's settle in, because we have a great show for you today. I am here live with my guests, Mira Signer, who is the director of statewide organizing with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia, and Courtney Jones, who is the grassroots organizer for the Virginia League of Planned Parenthood. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for all the work that you've been doing in the trenches up at the General Assembly. This year, as most of you are probably aware, we began the General Assembly in January with no less than 15 bills, which were all aimed at reducing a woman's right to choose. So, Mira, I was wondering if you could bring us up to date on where things stand in the legislature.
Absolutely, Rebecca. I'd be happy to. And you are right about that. We had just a few more than 15 bills aimed at restricting access to reproductive health and rights in some form. And we're talking not only access to abortion, but also access to contraception and medically accurate, comprehensive sex education that every child deserves so that they can grow up to be healthy and make responsible decisions. So just to give you kind of a quick rundown of a few of the major bills that we were watching and also mobilizing our supporters to take action on, the first bill is House Bill 868. And last week I spoke briefly about this bill, House Bill 868, to tell you a little bit about what it was, and I'll just kind of recap that. This bill aimed at restricting access to emergency contraception. And in case people don't know what emergency contraception is, we call it EC for short. And what it is it's basically a backup form of birth control in case somebody experiences contraceptive failure or sexual assault, and they need a way to prevent an unintended pregnancy. Now, EC is just contraception. Some people might actually confuse it with RU 486, but emergency contraception is actually just contraception. It's the same ingredients that are found in daily birth control pills, and the thing with EC is the sooner you take it, the better. And in Virginia, you have to get a prescription for emergency contraception, and then you have to go to a pharmacist to get it filled. Or you can also come to Planned Parenthood. We do have it there. So you have to take a few steps in order to get it. And unfortunately, some of our legislators, instead of working to reduce unintended pregnancies, they want to put restrictions on things like emergency contraception. So we saw House Bill 868, which aimed to have written, notarized parental consent and a mandatory delay of 4 to 48 hours for any minor who wanted to obtain emergency contraception. Now remember, with EC, the sooner you take it, the better as far as preventing unintended pregnancies. So this bill made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now what happened last night is the patron of the bill, Delegate Byron, actually pulled the bill. She wanted to carry it over until the next session. Why exactly she did that, I don't know that I can really say at this point. I do know that we mobilized hundreds and hundreds of supporters from around Virginia to write their legislators, send emails, call, to lobby in person. We had our lobby day that you'll hear about in a few minutes, and hundreds of people lobbied their legislators in person, really speaking out against this bill.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to WRIR 97.3 LPFM in Richmond, and this is the Richmond Indie Media News Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here live in Studio B with Mira Signer from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia and Courtney Jones, the grassroots organizer of the Virginia League for Planned Parenthood. And we're getting a legislative update on some of the bills that have been introduced and still are live in the General Assembly.
I can tell you about another one that actually still is alive in the General Assembly, and that is House Bill 164. And this one is sponsored by Delegate Lingenfelter, who's from Northern Virginia, who is somewhat notorious for introducing anti-choice legislation every year that restricts access in some way. And this bill relates to family life education, which is basically the medium for students to learn about health, sexuality education, drug abuse, and so forth. This bill actually has passed the full House of Delegates, and what it does is it requires family life education programs in Virginia to emphasize abstinence only until marriage as the accepted norm, and to talk about the psychological consequences of adolescent sex, as well as unmarried sex as an illegal act. Now, we have no problem with abstinence. Abstinence is great for people who choose it, if it works for them. However, it only works if you truly practice it. And we believe that people need every source of information in order to make responsible decisions. And that includes comprehensive information insofar as contraception, disease prevention, responsible decision-making, and so forth. And this bill absolutely flies in the face of comprehensive sex education that students need, not only for their developing years, but to carry them through their entire lives. And as I said, this bill, House Bill 164, passed the House of Delegates handily, and now what happens is it will go to the Senate. It'll go to the Senate side, where the senators will have a chance to vote on it.
Does this bill eliminate any types of information that children are legally able to get now through their sex education programs? Would this change the curriculum?
It could possibly change, yes, because family life education is written into the code of Virginia, and school programs have to follow the code. So it could change, depending on what is being taught, it could change that, yes. And to tell you about another piece of legislation, there's House Bill 189, which is sponsored by Delegate Bob Marshall from Manassas, and he is also notorious for introducing 5, 6, 7 pieces of anti-choice legislation that aim to severely limit access to reproductive health care services throughout the Commonwealth. And House Bill 189, which in the pro-choice community and with our coalition, we refer to as Targeted Regulation of Abortion Providers, or TRAP, T-R-A-P. And what this bill does is it requires medical facilities where first trimester abortions are performed to be licensed as ambulatory surgery centers. And that might sound very benign to somebody who maybe doesn't have much experience with this or is maybe new to some of these issues. But if you read the fine lines of this bill, it calls for things like a certain number of parking spaces, operating rooms on the second floor, doorways have to be a certain width, you have to have showers and things of this nature. And all of us in the pro-choice community and supporters know 100% these restrictions have nothing to do with women's health and safety. The ultimate goal of TRAP legislation is to shut down facilities. And of course, that is completely unacceptable. And the sad thing is that these legislators who propose legislation like this every year, they do nothing to reduce unintended pregnancies. They do nothing to put prevention first. And it's truly outrageous that they would propose legislation like this without calling for prevention measures such as family life education that is medically accurate, such as contraception, such as access to family planning services. Instead, they propose really these bogus and unnecessary pieces of legislation, and we all know what the ultimate goal of this bill is. So again, that's House Bill 189 that did pass the House of Delegates. Actually, I'm sorry, excuse me, that has not passed the House of Delegates. And what people can do is they can actually contact their legislators and ask them to speak out and vote no on this bill.
So this is basically an end run around Roe.
Exactly. It's a way to get legislation on the books to have restrictions in place in Virginia.
Courtney, how would you like to see people get involved as far as letting their legislators know that their feelings about these bills?
I think after the recent confirmation of Justice Samuel Alito last week, we all realized that Roe is very much in jeopardy and reproductive rights will be going back to the state level. So now more than ever, it is important to mobilize, to get your voice heard. Write letters to your delegates and senators. They're much more effective than email. But if time only permits email, please do. Call them. Express your viewpoints. You are a voter in their district. And let them know that these issues are important to you and that the majority of Virginians support reproductive access to health care and contraception and medically accurate information.
How would people get in touch with you, the Virginia League for Planned Parenthood?
They could certainly email me at Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y dot J-O-N-E-S at ppfa.org, or call us. Our number is 804-355-4358.
And you have a website?
We absolutely do. It is www.ppav.org, and all information is on the website.
And Mira, what about Planned Parenthood Advocates? How do people get in touch with that group?
Well, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia is our statewide organization that coordinates legislative advocacy and grassroots organizing. And probably one of the best things is to check out our website, www.ppav.org, which stands for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia. And again, that has more of a statewide focus. www.vlpp.org is our local Virginia League for Planned Parenthood affiliate. And a couple other ways people can get involved or get plugged in. We have an action network, the Planned Parenthood Action Network. And if you just go to ppav.org, you can sign up for the action network. We will send you updates on state issues, national issues. You can send free emails. You can send emails to your friends. The more we have, the louder and stronger our voices. And there's something else called the Constituent Viewpoint Line. And this is a line that connects you directly to the Virginia General Assembly. And that number is 1-800-889-0229. And what you do is you call and somebody will answer and you can register your opinion with them. And then you give your address, and they'll send it directly to your legislator. So it's kind of like one-stop shopping to get your voice heard. I know it sounds maybe a little bit kind of simple, but it's actually very important. Legislators really do track the number of calls they get. So, for example, you could call 1-800-889-0229 and tell them that you are opposed to House Bill 164 and House Bill 189, and they'll get that message to your legislators.
Courtney, do people have to know all the specifics of every single bill? Do they have to be an expert in these issues in order to have their voices heard?
Absolutely not. Every person who contacts their senators or delegates can just say that they support reproductive rights, they support accurate information, they support women, and they trust women to make the right decisions about what they're going to do with their bodies and their lives.
So it's just a really simple statement that you make.
Absolutely, and it's very powerful. The more people who speak out about this, the more our legislature is going to know that these bills will not be tolerated. We will not tolerate the General Assembly deciding what we can or cannot do with our bodies.
I know for myself, abortion would never be an option. That's my ethical principle. That's how I feel. But the reason I am so passionate about this issue and so involved in this issue and have been for so long is that I think it is absolutely inappropriate and wrong for government to have anything to say about this choice. It is between, in my opinion, the woman and her conscience, her doctor, her husband, her family, her priest. This is a personal decision, and I really think that we begin a slippery slope the day we allow the government to tell us that we cannot have an abortion because of the fact I just read yesterday that the United States population is predicted to be over 1 billion people by the end of this century alone. As we grow exponentially in population, and we begin to compete more and more for resources, I am so sure that someday it could happen that if we let the government have anything to say about the fact that we can't have an abortion, someday, watch out, the government will have a say that we must have abortions when we don't want to end our pregnancies. The government will force us to. If that sounds far-fetched, it has already happened in a country I can think of around the world right now. So I think it's really, really important for us to draw the line in the sand and to tell the government this is not a place for you to have any say whatsoever.
And we really want to work with our elected officials. We want to put prevention first. We want family planning and accurate information so that people can make responsible decisions and avoid having to have abortions. We want safe family planning to be necessary and needed and accessible.
And that seems to me an appropriate place for government to be involved in ensuring health and safety. But getting involved in making the choice for me as to what I do with my body seems absolutely inappropriate.
I think that's absolutely right. I think you've hit the nail on the head. These decisions are private. They're personal. They should be made by a woman in consultation with her doctor and her family and her conscience, not the government at all.
Courtney, can you tell us a little bit about Lobby Day? I know that there was a big event last week. Can you give us an update on that?
Absolutely. We had a phenomenal turnout last week. Last Thursday at the General Assembly, we gathered over 500 pro-choice supporters from all over the state. And online, we had about 650 virtual activists sending 1,300 emails to their elected representatives. We had just an amazing day. At our legislative breakfast, we had over 15 supporters in the House of Delegates and the Senate coming to show their support and reaffirm their belief in our cause. We had TRAP, House Bill 189, was heard in full committee the day of Pro-Choice Lobby Day, and although it was passed out of committee, we had 150 supporters in the committee hearing all stand up at once to show their opposition to the bill and really show a unified voice. And the day culminated in a pro-choice rally at the Bell Tower with speakers ranging from Delegate Catherine Waddell from the 68th District, Chelsea Rock, who's the president of Vox at University of Richmond, which is our campus chapter, and the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Metro Washington, Jatrice Martel Gator. So it was an incredible day, just tons of energy. It was wonderful.
And I think one thing that was so remarkable and that so many people commented on was the number of young people. We had 7 buses come in from around the state, and many, many hundreds of those people were college students from Virginia Tech, UVA, James Madison, Old Dominion University, many colleges around the state, as well as high school students. There was a group of at least a dozen high school students from a high school in Charlottesville. So I think what is really powerful is that this is the next generation of pro-choice leaders, and they're out, and they're visible, and they're public, and they're engaged, and they're mobilized and getting organized.
And they're not just all women.
We had men, we had women. There were, I mean, you name it, they were there.
Grandmothers.
I mean, I think the age range was, there was a little itty-bitty infant all the way to this maybe woman who was in her 80s. It was tremendous.
And I think the most important thing to take from Lobby Day, other than the huge success of it in general, is just the energy and putting that energy into continuing to stay involved. We have volunteer opportunities all year long, ranging from Back Up Your Birth Control Day, which is coming up in March, to outreach events during the summer. This is going to be a really important year for reproductive rights, and we want everyone to stay involved and keep the momentum up so that we can make some real change in Virginia.
So again, if you want to know how to get involved, you can contact Courtney at Planned Parenthood. You can go to ppav.org to learn how to contact her, or you can send her an email at courtney.jones@ppfa.org. And we would love to have you come to phone banks, help with the community outreach team, get letters to the editor, and so forth. There's lots of ways for people to get involved.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to WRIR 97.3 LPFM here in Richmond, and this is Richmond Indie Media News. We're with you every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1 o'clock, bringing you the news that you say is important, taken directly from our website. We are here with some of the organizers of Planned Parenthood and the Virginia League for Planned Parenthood. They're giving us an update on what's been going on in the legislature and a call to action. As you know, we have just gotten 2 new Supreme Court justices, and the color of the court as far as its relationship with a women's right to choose may have drastically changed. Sandra Day O'Connor is no longer on the court, and so we are looking for some interesting challenges this year, and we're really encouraging everyone to stay involved. You can go to the websites of these organizations, www.ppav.org or www.vlpp.org, or you can go to our website, richmond.indymedia.org, and look up their postings there, and you can stay involved in that way. The important thing is to let your voice be heard. Is there any final message that you want to get out to people?
I think the final message is just that, that people absolutely have to get their voices out, or decisions will be made for them that affect them. So please give us a call. Let us know how you'd like to get plugged in and help stand up for choice and stand up for reproductive health and rights.
Courtney?
I think my thoughts echo Mira's. I'm so excited about the upcoming year, the challenges that we face, and getting as many people involved in this important, important fight.
I thank you both so much for all the work that you're doing. It means so much to all of us, and we know that it's sometimes difficult, sometimes trying, but it's so worthwhile. Thank you so much for being here with us. Will you come back again sometime and give us an update on what's going on?
Sure thing.
Good. Absolutely. We'd love to.
Give us a call to action. Great. We're going to continue now with some more of the news from our website. The Tidewater Labor Support Committee will be hosting a community organizing workshop tomorrow on at 7 p.m. In Washington Hall, room 2008 on the campus of the College of William and Mary. The workshop is entitled Another Kind of Politics, and it will be run by members of the Snail's Pace Collective and will focus on the example for community power provided by the Zapatistas. The event is free and open to the public. More information is on our website at richmond.indymedia.org. Last week, we told you the good news that the University of Mary Washington had decided to raise its minimum wage for its hourly workers. This week on our website, you are encouraged to sign on to a resolution urging the University of Virginia to implement a living wage. This battle has been going on with UVA for 8 long years of campaigning, so we are looking for support from individuals and organizations. And if you would go to livingwagenow at virginia.edu, you can sign on to this petition, or you can go to our website, richmond.indymedia.org. The resolution is there, and a lot of the information is there that I know you will find very interesting. So have a look there. Also, I wanted to tell you that this morning there was a citizens' rally for better growth management tools for better communities. It just ended today at noon. It was also a great success. There is momentum growing in order to have the legislators hear that we want bills that give local communities more power to control their growth. So let your legislator hear that you want to support House Bill 1610 and House Bill 1609 and Senate Bill 373 with its companion House Bill 1542. There are other bills that are important to let your legislators know that you want to support. They all are concerned with the idea of giving local communities more power to control traffic and growth. So go to our website at richmond.indymedia.org and find out more about that. Or you can contact the Virginia Conservation Network, the Coalition for Smarter Growth, the Piedmont Environmental Council, or the Virginia League of Conservation Voters. One more important announcement today from the website comes from the Theater 4's Empire Theater at 114 West Broad Street here in Richmond. As you know, February is Black History Month, and on Saturday, the 25th of February at 7 p.m. at Theater 4's Empire Theater, there will be a performance of The More Things Change, The More They Remain the Same. This is an important local theater company's production that predicts some of the possible dire consequences of the Patriot Act and its connection back through time with the Black Slave Codes. It is a must-see for all concerned people, community activists, and organizations dealing with civil liberties and human rights. And guess what? They need extra actors. So contact them at 647-0832 or 754-3349 if you want to get involved or you want to find out about coming to the production. Well, as usual, we've run out of time before we've run out of news and things to talk about. So we look forward to seeing you back here next week at 12:30 for Richmond Indie Media News. Peace out.